Hey, what's up, everyone? How you doing? Ben Kissel here, hanging out with Henry Zebrowski.
Yes.
Thank you all so much for giving to our Patreon. We are just going to jump right in with today's guest. He is a former grave digger. He also hosts the podcast Grave Stories. We are going to talk about some spooky stuff with Nathan Barnett. Thank you so much, Nathan, for being on the show.
Hello, thank you for having me. This is seriously like a major honor, so... I really cannot thank you enough. This
is exciting. All the hopes and dreams come to this.
I'm talking to a MUFON VIP.
I have to get rid of all my shit now because the head of MUFON purchased a child to make love to. But guess what?
It turned out to be for real?
Yeah, now it's a tiny, but it turned out to be a tiny cup.
Yes, indeed, okay. Of course. There you go. It always is. Well, that is the truth that MUFON doesn't want you to know. Nothing about aliens, more about pedophilia.
Now, Nathan, you are a very former gravedigger. You're a professional actor and comedian. You've been doing this a long time. Gravedigging was in your past, but it's now becoming your future.
It is. It's funny.
What does that do to a man?
Well, it's interesting because I was like filming videos ever since high school, and I did stand up in Boston and Providence and stuff. And then I saved up money to move to LA to like really pursue it. And back in like 2005, when I was 24 is when I moved to LA, and I'm 39. So it was 15 years ago. But I saved for 2 years working as a gravedigger I got tricked into it. I didn't know I was going to be a gravedigger.
How'd they trick you into it?
So my friend's dad ran a garden center, and I would drive a dump truck and I would just deliver mulch to different people's houses. And then on Fridays, he would send me to the cemetery to cut the grass because he also like managed the cemetery. So I would start just cutting grass on Fridays. Right. One day he shows up and he's like, "All right, we got to dig a grave." And I was like, "What? I didn't know that was going to happen ever." So he's like, "Yep, come on, let's go over." So he digs the hole with the backhoe, and then he tells me to jump in the grave. My job was always to get in the grave, square it up, get the rocks out, all the roots, and like
all the hard shit. So he got to be in the machine. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, because he's like an old dude. He did the big bulk of the hole, and then I had to like do the rest. And then he'd have to lower like the case into it.
Why does it matter if there's any roots in there? Was the dead going to be? Are they going to be mad?
It's a kind of a whole thing is a waste. I consider the whole process of burying someone just littering, but no one.
I'm with
like
you
that.
Though. I'm with you. I really do think that the human body should be either used as art or food.
Art,
like some kind of.
I don't know about all that. What
makes a slurry? Yeah. Oh, would you want to do one of those pods? Have you seen those where they bury people in the pods filled with seeds and then a tree sprouts?
Yeah, I'll do that just so my dogs can take a piss on it every day, Henry Zebrowski. I'll call it the Zebrowski tree, and it'll be the pee and the poop spot.
Just don't eat the apples that come off that tree.
All right, why are you... Okay, so you're in here. You're in the grave. Uh-huh. You're cosplaying a corpse, I guess, doing whatever you do. And at what point did you realize you love this? You are now in love with digging graves.
It hasn't hit me yet. Well, you know, I'll tell you one thing. When I was doing it, it was very off-putting being in someone's grave before them. And then I'd get super bummed out when it was like a young person. I'd be at the funerals, and I always felt like a vulture because I was always filthy. And then it became when the funeral. When that would happen, it was like a day or two later, I would be the one that ran the whole show. Digging the hole, I did with my boss. But then when the funeral happened, my boss wouldn't be there. I would sit and wait for them to finish. And I'd be sitting over by my dump truck, like across the cemetery, just watching them. And I always felt like a vulture, like waiting to take away. I was the Grim Reaper. I was like finalizing. After I step in, your friend's gone for good. And I'm the one that's going to seal the deal. That's how I'm thinking of it. And they could all see me over there. And
just going, get him in there.
Can't wait to bury this guy. This guy sucks. So I'm waiting to go finish this guy's, you know, life. And it started like bumming me out. And then there were times I'd have to carry the casket. And I always felt like obviously underdressed because I'm all dirty. But I'd have to help them. And I just didn't like being involved in any of this. It bummed me out. But then when I stopped getting bummed out about it, is when I then got bummed out even more and got freaked out because it stopped being weird and I was just so used to it. And people would tip me sometimes. I always felt weird about that. And I was like, no, you guys are like crying and you can't give me money. I'm like making this worse for you.
A lot of people give money away when they're crying. A lot of money exchanges hands through tears.
Nathan, I have a couple questions about details.
Yeah.
Now, okay. You're grave digger. So first of all, I am shocked. I didn't even think about that you sit and you have to be at the service and that you are watching the service after you've already dug a hole for this person. So you dig this hole. How far in advance is the hole dug for the grave? Like how far of it, like how long is your day? Like when you are assigned to, I don't know, it's like if it's a general thing, like, all right, we have a service today. Is it that grave dug that day and then filled and then completed? Like, is it a 1 day thing or is this thing open at night? And that's when you can go have sex with your like goth girlfriend in it.
It's a rental.
Well, it's usually a day or two before the funeral. So like the funeral home guy will come in. The guy that did a lot of the burials at the cemetery was super creepy. And then he was very cliche, like right out of a movie, like a skinny, lanky guy. It's like, oh, we have another one coming in. It was like on the nose. And then his son would come with him a lot. And he was like a smaller version of him who was going to take over. It was so odd. I was like, I'm in a movie or something. So those guys would come in. They would say, all right, we got a funeral. It's going to be here on Wednesday. We dig the grave either Monday or Tuesday. Because you don't want to leave it open. You have to cover it up with boards. You cover it up with like plywood and stuff.
Yeah.
It's also not very deep. So you dig the hole, then you put a cement case. It's like a big box. It's almost like a big shoe box. You put that in, and then it has a cement lid that goes on top of it.
Oh,
and
shit.
And you put the casket in that. That's why I think it's littering, because you're just putting cement in the ground, then you're putting the casket in it, then you're putting a lid on it. And they're not all of them, at least on the East Coast, since in Massachusetts where I did it, it wasn't 6 feet. It was like almost 6 feet. Sometimes they go a little lower, but it was because a lot of times we do in the winter, we have to use like a jackhammer to like break
the
ground.
Yeah, to break up the soil, right?
So it was like, this is deep enough. And then there's like, sometimes there's only like,
that's ridiculous. So what, you got toes hanging out, poking up through the ground after a year and a half? What do you mean this is deep enough? You
got to
do it 6 feet. What do you mean you found the toes? You're going over them with a lawnmower? Was this motel hell?
Wrap up the 6 feet thing. It was because the case, you didn't really need to be 6 feet down. It just needed to be enough to get the case underground and then enough to get the grass to grow back on top of the cement lid. So it was like 5 to 6 inches on top of the lid. And they're like, all right, that's good enough. So it wasn't very deep, but there was a second part of this cemetery. The cemetery I worked at was called the Dell Park Cemetery in Natick, Massachusetts. And there's an old Civil War era half of this cemetery. And the ground was so uneven from sinkholes and stuff and then grass growing over it. There was times I'd be cutting grass and something would go flying, you know, because you hit a stick or whatever, and you look and it'd be like a bone, like a finger bone or a toe bone. Like for real. It was crazy. My brother worked there before me. I'd be like, look, I found a bone. He's like, I was always finding bones. Sometimes your foot, you'd be walking while cutting grass and you would fall through a hole and your foot would go into a grave from like some Civil War dude. It was crazy. I hated that.
You never snooped around the graves though? Because you never know what they were buried with in the Civil War. You know, a lot of those people who died were really, really wealthy.
They could have like some jewels and things.
I feel like it's a massive felony. I feel like
probably.
You'd be like in a lot of trouble.
With like the military too, maybe, because it's like an offense for like a sergeant. I don't know.
Yeah, did you ever hide anything in any of the graves? Maybe that would be kind of fun if you hid like a trophy or something in there.
No, I never really had a chance to do it because either my boss would be there to come over and put the lid on, or the family was still there. There was one time though, during the funeral, the family waved me over and they were like, come over here. These people were singing and dancing. Like they're having an actual good time. It's like, okay, I hope they're just celebrating. Sure. Like they're like, oh, their person's leaving. They're going to a better place. Or they just hated this person. But that family asked me to lower the casket into the grave while they were there. And then they filmed me doing it. So I'm like trying to hide my face as I'm like lowering it. But that would have been one time where I could have slipped something in because I was like right on top of it. Normally I didn't have to like do it that way. But
certain religions, right? Because I know that the Jewish religion, you got to get in the ground immediately. Right. Like that's the idea. It's very sparse. You go in a like very thin box and you go right in. Now, were you basically in a Christian/Catholic cemetery?
There was
cemetery?
A lot of Catholic stuff there, but I think there was all religions there, honestly. I think it because I'd seen Jewish stars.
Yeah. But I didn't know if there was something different. Like, do you put something like that, like that type of burial, into one of those concrete squares? Because it seems like they want them to be as close to the earth as possible. Or is that just fucking policy and there's nothing you can do about it?
This cemetery, it was policy too. You had to put a cement case in the ground. And I think it was because they didn't want tree roots or things to grow up into the casket and ruin it. They have to, like, preserve it for some reason. I just don't know why. It's such a waste.
We wouldn't even fucking know.
I know. It's a complete waste. I hated it. It drove me nuts. The cremations, I was like, okay, this makes more sense. It's just a little box I'd bury, and it was, like, a foot down. So those were, like, simple.
Right.
And it was a lot less wasteful.
I do feel like at the same time, because I'm, you know, look at this monster, Kissel. Like, we all have the same, probably, like, flag.
What did I do?
You're a monster, but it's acceptable.
What have I even done here to be called a monster?
Your whole life, everything you've ever done. But the idea is that, but having, like, a bunch of other, like, I don't know if you had the same gaggle of shithead friends, where it's like,
what is going on? Why are you just demeaning all of your friends right now?
Where
in this long-winded question, Henry?
Where is the, you guys didn't want to fuck around?
With this one.
Yeah, he's blowing up a lot of steam. He's throwing so much shade, I feel like I'm about to be buried in a grave.
You are. First of all, I do want to ask, what do you do with a big boy like Kissel? Do you have to dig a bigger grave for something like him, or do they just snap him up?
Honestly, do you dig a bigger grave? Because if I get one of these 4-foot treatments, I'm going to be real freaking pissed off.
Yeah, you get like you have to buy a family plot and use it yourself.
What? Height discrimination never ends.
But how
even
do you,
the grave.
How do you deny the temptation to just play in the graves all night?
Oh, I'll tell you something. I did it in LA out here recently. I went to being a gravedigger and knowing how cemeteries work. I was shooting a short film a year ago and I was raising money for it online. Mm-hmm. I was like, I was doing all these crazy live streams. I climbed buildings in a Spider-Man outfit. I jumped on a moving bus. I did all this crazy stuff. Insane. So I normally do physical comedy. That's like my thing. But now this Grave Stories podcast is like my fun pastime pleasure for something that's easy where I don't have to like throw myself at a bus and get killed.
It's much better, right?
It's unbelievable. Yeah. It's like, oh my God, I now understand. I know what's going on. I can just run my lips and flip my lips all day.
You're going to start getting podcaster butt like Henry and I have.
It's
weird. Your butt gets bigger, but it also gets smaller and flatter.
It's flat. It gets flatter and longer. It's like the bottom of my butt looks like Braille.
That's how you know you're a success. It's like, yeah. Oh, that guy's a super popular podcast host. Look at that butt.
You'll never make a living sitting on your ass. Well, look at that.
Oh, on the contrary. Yeah, I've been throwing myself around for 15 years and hasn't done me much good. So I think I'm going to take a note from you guys now. Well, anyways, I went to the cemetery one night to do a live stream to raise money to like do something crazy. And I did it live. I was like, I'm going to read grave stories because this is the thing I used to do on live streams at home. I would for like 5 hours, I'd read real ghost stories because I'm intrigued by them. And it became kind of popular on my YouTube. So then I was like, I'm going to do a live one from a cemetery. And everyone who donates, all the money is going to this short film I'm going to go film. I had to sneak in. I would have the camera mounted to me, like my phone. I climbed over this barbed wire fence. I won't say which cemetery, but it was in LA. And I went in there and I got so lucky because I walked around the cemetery. I read the ghost stories. Then another night I did Ouija board in there. And then one night I walked around and there was an open grave. There's a picture of it somewhere on the internet. Like this. So I will tell you, they dig these graves so much deeper in LA.
Yeah.
Like 9
well,
feet.
It's hard.
You can't get out if you go in.
It's hard to truly destroy the evil of a Hollywood producer. You need to bury them deeper.
With like a silver cross on top of it. You got to chop off the head, put garlic in it just so it doesn't, do casting couch stuff from the grave.
Oh my God. Will and Grace is coming back to television. We didn't bury the producer deep enough. We didn't bury him deep enough.
Yeah, they do it right here. Like, there's no demons coming back in L.A., that's for sure. I learned this, too. There's a video I did called Dead Man's Bones where I'm in a skeleton outfit dancing in, like, 100 different locations around L.A. It was to Ryan Gosling's band called Dead Man's Bones, and that song was just the same title. I danced in a skeleton suit all around L.A., and I went in Santa Monica. I found an open grave, and I climbed in, and I was wearing these nylon, like, you know, skeleton suit. And I also had a broken foot at the time. I shattered my heel earlier before this. Jeez. So I climb in this grave. I just needed a shot of me coming out of the grave. So I pushed my hands and my feet against the sides of the grave. But the grave was, like, I'm not kidding, 9 feet deep. And I was expecting to be 6 feet because that's what it was in Massachusetts at most. I go in this grave and I'm sliding because I'm not wearing shoes. I'm just wearing this nylon gloved footed suit. And I'm sliding down against the dirt walls trying to climb myself out.
Oh,
I
my
almost
God.
Got stuck in this grave in San Marco with a broken foot. And then I did it again in this other cemetery a couple years ago just so I could be like, all right, everyone, here's proof of me climbing in a grave. During the middle of a stream, I snuck into here illegally. Please, I'm begging you to give me $5 for this movie. Well, I have a lot of experience in graves post being a grave digger. So I just seem to can't, I can't get away.
You can't get away.
Wait, well, by it.
It's your bread and butter.
None of us will get away from the grave, will we?
The last time that we're very like, we're like that too. We like to see cemeteries and walk around. I actually feel like cemeteries are probably less haunted than most places because finished business has been done. Like bodies have been laid to rest. So you wonder if they would have the same level of ghost activity.
I honestly feel like nothing ever weird happened in the Massachusetts cemetery. There was just this fox that would stare at me sometimes. And that was like kind of just cool. But that was about it. I think most ghosts, in my experience of reading books, I'm reading all these books like of real accounts of real ghost stories from people, and it always seems to be that the ghost is where the person died. Like the moment of where they died is where they're gonna like now haunt. And it's not the cemetery because that's just their old, you know, it's their old case. It's their old mech warrior that they were walking around in on Earth.
We're talking with Nathan Barnett, the host of Grave Stories. Check out that podcast. We don't have the longest time on the history of the planet today, in the history of Earth, whatever. Oh, I don't even know what I'm saying anymore. But what
you back for some form of our listener post episode. We should do.
Oh, I'm down.
Do
I'm down to do anything.
I would love that. And let's just try to get into a ghost story. I would love to hear a ghost story. If you have any tale you would like to regale our audience with, that would be incredible because that's what we live on, and we're getting into October here. Ghost stories are very fun.
This is our time.
I'll say, I grew up in Massachusetts. My mom and dad are still there. My older brother's still there. And Milford, Massachusetts is a town that my parents lived in. And that house, when we first moved in, like tons of stuff happened in that house. It's stuff that you could probably like, you could make a logical explanation for it. But two things that happened that were very unexplainable. My brother and my mom were downstairs decorating Christmas cookies. I was upstairs playing Sega Saturn.
And cool.
Yeah, Sega Saturn!
Love Sega Saturn.
Yeah. Game I was playing was Double Switch, to be specific. Yep. Corey Haim game.
Interesting.
That was a Corey Haim game.
Yeah, the CD movie game. Harry was in it, too.
That's so weird.
And did Corey talk about what happened to him as a child actor? Was that the point of the game?
Yes. The point was to get him to escape from a basement that he was locked in.
Okay.
Yeah, by Harvey Weinstein.
See, that checks out.
So I'm playing video games, and then my mom and my brother here running up the stairs. And my dad was also in the cellar we call it in Massachusetts, which is right below the kitchen. He was right below the stairs that went up into the, he was right below the stairs that went upstairs.
Okay.
So he was below the stairs. My mom was at the top of the stairs running the other side of the door in the kitchen. So all three of them are near the stairs. And my mom and Seth, my brother, hear someone run up the stairs with their shoes on. And my mom yells up to me, Nay, they call me Nay for short. Nay, take your shoes off. And I heard her say, I was like, what did she say? So I like crawled over to my door. My door was open, but I couldn't quite hear what she said. I said, what? She said, take your shoes off. I said, my shoes are off. What are you talking about? I'm playing video games. She goes, didn't you just run up the stairs? And I was like, no, I'm playing video games. And then my brother Seth's like, I heard it too. They heard someone run upstairs, and we were the only ones home. My dad was right below those stairs. They heard someone run up. And this is a very small New England house from like 1838. You hear everything, like literally everything in that house.
Yeah, of course.
So he didn't hear it at all, and he was directly below the stairs. Only my mom and Seth heard it at the same time as they were just talking. They both heard somewhere upstairs. So it's weird that two people heard this.
Man,
so that
I
was
just,
creepy.
I just hope in the afterlife I don't forget my keys, because that's what it sounds like. It sounds like a ghost was going up to do his ghost job, and then he's like, I forgot my ghost keys. And then he had to run up the stairs really quick.
God,
it just seems like a lot of stress.
I think that's what happens. If you die and you weren't like a great person and you're going to be trapped here for a little while, they probably stick you in a situation that's just like the most annoying, stressful thing for you.
You're going to work in like ghost HR. Oh, that would be horrible.
Why is it the DMV just like surrounded by shrieking phantoms?
It might be.
I mean, you see some of the people who work there? Come on. No, we have people who listen to the DMV who, like, hey, listen, we know you work for the DMV. We support you. We're there. Please
They're
don't fuck with my
fine.
License.
It's not
don't
their fault.
Don't fuck with my paperwork.
It's not but, their fault.
That's why I really subscribe to the idea that there will be some form of scientific explanation of, like, why this phenomena happens, especially sound and visuals, because it seems like it's very localized and you pick up on it or not. It's like a radio signal, and you kind of, like, it happens to you and you see a thing, but it's, you know, like what they say, I mean, at this, the idea that it's just a recorded moment just playing on loop.
Yeah. That's the thing. I'm like a super believer. So I'm not like the best, you know, devil's advocate or whatever, but I often say, I think ghosts are science. Just like we didn't know anything 100 years ago. I think we're still basically glorified bugs on this planet. We don't know what's going on, but I think this whole phenomenon of, like, spirits and energy or whatever, and things that are happening, is probably, there's some science behind it that we'll eventually understand and be like, oh, remember when we were cave people, we thought ghosts were fake. Now we realize that there's two dimensions on top of each other. And if we just do this weird thing, we can top through dimensions, you know, like open a portal. I think there's a lot going on that is scientific.
That's Ghostbusters 3.
Yeah.
And these motherfuckers show up, dude. That's what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid of letting them all in at once. I don't want to, like, I feel like if there's one specific dimension that we're on top of, we need to really, if they figure out that door, we need to really watch that door.
Yeah.
And be
totally.
Like, we need to vet the people or
well,
the entities.
It's not
going
to be that bad. What's wrong with the ghosts coming through? They just click clack every now and again, mess with the pans. Maybe they even clean up the place.
I think they need to take a 25 question questionnaire asking them about human values.
Whoa!
And do they attach to human value? I don't mean to be so conservative about this.
Well,
I don't think we should necessarily build a wall between us and the ether dimension.
I think the ghost of Herman Cain went into your brain. And now you're talking 999. Do you believe that these are ghosts, or do you think, as in the former living, or do you think that it's something else? Do you feel like maybe it's a, I don't know, demon or something like that?
He's trying to use the word elemental, but that's true.
No, I'm not trying to use the word elemental. I mean, I could, but
I feel I don't know, but I'm trying to figure it out every day, and I'll let you know once I figure it out. But I have a theory that it's either the things we hear, we see a ghost or we hear a ghost, that is like a trapped memory that person lived, and it loops for some reason. And like the thing we keep hearing, like we just always hear this popping sound in the air, like out of nowhere, just not like a cork shooting like out of a bottle. And then we were told by former owners of the house that they think it's a little boy, and they think it was a cork gun he used to shoot, like a cork comes out of the end of a wooden gun. So that was the thing. So we're trying to like piece it to put it together. He also did this thing one time when my girlfriend was sleeping over when I was 20 years old. She was in my room. We weren't supposed to sleep in the same bed. So I had to sleep on the floor. My mom wouldn't allow that. So as we're in the room, we heard this like rink, 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 rink noise, repetitive creaking noise. And I was like, oh, do you hear that? And she's like, don't even say it, because she didn't like being in the house because she knew there was like a ghost there. I loved it. So I opened the door and it stopped. And then I closed the door, it started again. And my parents were downstairs. My brothers were at their girlfriend's places. There's no one in this house. My cat trash bag at the time, he's the only person that could have done this, made this noise. So we heard this creaking. And then we heard this super rattling of the doorknob, like jiggle, 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 jiggle. Like someone was pranking you to like freak you out. It was a sudden burst of jiggling on the doorknob.
Scary.
I opened the door. There's no one there. My brother's nowhere around. I can poke my head out of my door and see the entire upstairs of the house because it was a very small house. He was nowhere to be found. Trash bag could never have reached that to actually like mess with the doorknob, especially that fast.
That would be scary. That's scarier than a ghost.
That is scary. That's scary.
Trash bag was a wild cat. He used to like make his own cigarettes and he hid ammunition in the walls. We had this whole like theory about this cat we had. So it could have been
trash
him.
Trash bag
was great. So he escaped to Miami and he's living a great life now.
Oh,
so,
great.
This creaking and this doorknob, I start talking to the ghost and she's like, please stop talking. I stepped out over the threshold of the door, like right into the hallway. And when I stepped there, I heard a ring with my feet. And then I could replicate the sound by rocking back and forth. And what we've learned was what we pictured in our heads was the ghost standing there outside the door, just rocking side to side, staring
that's
at
scary.
Us. And I was like, that's when I got really scared because I put this image in my head. I was like, oh, dude, this is crazy. And she didn't sleep the whole night. So those are two of the best things that have happened in the house that were I couldn't explain. And it was weird that the noise was just very repetitive. And I don't know who the heck could have moved that doorknob that fast, that intense. But it was pretty crazy.
Definitely not trash bag.
Every story, because, you know, most paranormal activity, what I love is the major debunking is house is uneven.
Yeah.
You know, like that's like the whole thing. Or it's like,
exactly.
Yeah. Well, these New England houses, I mean, they are uneven. I've seen a lot of, what was that show on PBS that I used to watch all the
time?
This Old House?
This Old House. Yeah.
That show's fucking 20 years old.
Oh, it's older than that. It's probably 40.
What was his name? This Old House. Bob Vila. Wasn't it Bob Vila?
Bob Vila.
Vila was there for a little while, although I've heard he doesn't actually do as much work as he pretends to do, but that's a whole other kind of debunking we don't need to get into right now.
Yeah. No, I want to.
You got to get the fraudsters to go into look into Bob Vila.
Exactly.
I don't even want to expose Bob Vila if he did do anything wrong. We need to have some true heroes in this country still.
Let's leave him alone. Honestly, you know what? To be honest, he probably shouldn't be in front of a microphone. I don't know what he's going to say.
Who knows?
At this point, I don't know what's going to come out of Bob Vila's mouth if you just give him a platform.
I don't want to know. I don't want to know. Nathan Barnett, thank you so much for being here. If you have not checked out Grave Stories, check out Grave Stories. And
should do something for October because it's coming.
I'm so down. Whatever you want. I have lots of inventive ideas of things we could do. If you guys want to sneak into a cemetery and get in a grave and do a podcast from a grave in LA, I'll show you where to go.
I would bulldoze through a gate to get to the cemetery. I could. How do you best, what's the best way to break into a cemetery? Just if any of our listeners want to do that.
Well, this one I went into, you could just walk straight to the front, but there's a camera there and it's on a main road so people would see you. So I would climb over, I come to this 10-foot fence with barbed wire on the top and I had this whole like method of how to do it. But there's other ones that you can get in easier. Could probably even ask the cemetery and they get permission for it. They'd be like, yeah, sure, whatever. It's for a special thing. Cool.
Yeah, most of the time they just want, because what I find with cemeteries is a lot of time they want to have, like, they like disinformation to be destroyed. They want, they know that people are curious about what goes on in there. And some of them are not like skeleton people. So they are, the ones that are not skeleton people are normally like very eager to be like, we're not all like the guy that you work for. Like they all say like, we're not all Ichabod Crane. But I think on some level they are.
They are. They have to be. And that's in the job description. I want them to be that way.
Oh, if I show up, the next person I bury, if I show up and this guy is not wearing one of those like Undertaker hats, like literally an Undertaker hat, like the big, broad thing.
You want your money's worth.
Absolutely. Yeah, I want the tall man from Phantasm. I want to be scared. I want to know there's a possible another dimension in the back room. That's the whole freaking point of being a gravedigger and someone who runs a funeral or a graveyard.
I got a friend, Bob, who's also 6'7", who looks like that. And he's in a series I'm shooting right now. I do this YouTube series called Dad Feels, and he's playing a gravedigger in it. So he's a 6'7". He looks so creepy. He's like the perfect gravedigger.
Have you ever spoken with Angus Grimm?
Angus Grimm?
Angus Grimm is the tall man.
The tall man.
From Phantasm. He's a good, honestly, you should maybe talk to that. I think he's still alive.
I keep picturing the guy from Twin Peaks, but I know that's not the right person.
That guy, yeah, the fireman, that big, tall guy.
Oh, is it the same guy?
No, it's not. They are similar.
Oh,
same
right.
DNA. Well, monsters are the same.
We could talk about height all day long, but unfortunately,
it's just jealousy. That's all it is. That's all you're hearing.
Oh, I'm not worried about it. I'm not worried about it. You wait until y'all try to bury me the amount of money that it costs you. I'm not going to care. And I'm going to freeze all my assets. I mean, the government will freeze them. So you won't even have
that. I mean, they're going to be looking for their money at that point. Yeah, I imagine at that point. Money. Yeah, once you've been in a bunker for a long period of time. But we're going to burn you, Kissel.
I had a bunker dream. You're going to do that. Okay, well, we'll talk about that off air. I have no problem with that.
Last thing I say, I feel like I should say this. My friend Tom, who hosts a podcast called Unbelievable Mysteries, I'm on it like every other episode. He's the guy who put me on to you guys, so I owe him for making me a fan. So
awesome.
I'm going to say Tom's podcast, Unbelievable Mysteries, which I'm also part of. I just want to say it.
Well,
fuck yeah, good plug.
But aren't,
good strong
aren't,
plug.
Aren't mysteries by nature unbelievable? Shouldn't it be believable mysteries?
Well, I think there's some underwhelming mysteries, like who drank the orange juice? It's just probably my friend Greg.
The thing is, when quarantine, you know exactly who drank the fucking orange juice. You know exactly who did it.
Check out Grave Stories, the Nathan Barnett podcast, and Tom's podcast, Unbelievable Mysteries.
It's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. And thank you, honestly.
For real? His is better than mine because I can't freaking read words, and that's the whole point is I'm trying to read ghost stories. I stumble like a moron the whole way. So my podcast stinks.
Hey, buddy, it does get better.
Kissel couldn't read for years.
I could read. I was doing a bit, and then everyone, okay, well, what is going on? Henry woke up, and his temperature was set to roast mode.
I meditated this morning. I meditated.
Wow.
I've been sitting here, man.
Live from your grave.
All right, there it was. Nathan Barnett. Make sure to check out his podcast, Grave Stories.
Yeah.
Very fun. Very fun.
Oh, he's
indeed.
A funny guy. I'm excited to talk with him further. I like the idea of like how being a gravedigger does paint your whole life. I can't imagine how it doesn't.
It seems like it's really like a pivotal moment for people when they start digging graves and seeing everyone at funerals constantly, and then they get paid to do it.
Like, once you really see that we are meat, like, that has got to change your perspective. Then probably gets you in a lot of fights with significant others as well.
It could. All right, everyone. Well, thank you all so much for giving to our Patreon once again.
Thank you for money.
Hope you're enjoying the interview series that Henry and I do. And
we just get better and better at it, don't we?
We do something every time.
Every time.
And again, we can't wait to see you as soon as we possibly can. We'll give you hugs. That'll be very
it's just
nice.
It's just
we'll
creepy
give you hugs.
I'll give you a hug.
All right, everyone. Thanks for listening. Hail yourself.
Hail Satan.
Magustalations, everyone.
Hail me. Thank you for that cash money.
Woo. Thank you. Honestly, thank you so much.